The Two Brothers by Alexander Dumas, copyright 2014 by Bahar Books, Chapter 5. The hour had come to deliver the princess. The king, with the marshal and the courtiers, accompanied her to the foot of the mountain. The princess continued on with the marshal until the chapel. There the marshal remained to witness the sacrifice and bring back an account to the king. The princess continued on, following the path to the summit, going with little will of her own, crying burning tears. When she reached the top of the mountain, she was terribly afraid, for she believed that the hunter and his five animals were nothing other than the dragon waiting to devour her. But the hunter, quite the opposite, approached her respectfully, followed by his lion, his bear, his wolf, his fox, and his rabbit, and, trying to put on the most agreeable face possible, saluted her and said, "Beautiful princess, do not at all fear me, and do not fear the animals who follow me. Very much the contrary. We have come to battle the dragon and deliver you." "Good hunter," the princess said to him, "God give you aid, but I have no great hope. Many have already tried what you wish to attempt, and all have lost their lives."
"That may be," said the young hunter, still more encouraged by the marvelous beauty of the princess. "But whether we deliver you or all lose our lives like they, the only real sadness would be to see the most beautiful princess in the world perish."
At that moment, a great storm approached from above. It was the dragon, flying and beating its wings. Then a cloud of smoke obscured the day, but this was nothing less than the breath of the monster.
"Go under that oak, princess," said Gottlieb, "and pray for your devoted servant."
The princess, trembling all over, went under the oak. The rabbit followed her. The other animals, that is to say, the lion, the bear, the wolf, and the fox, stayed near their master. All the while, the seven-headed dragon lowered itself little by little until it was 25 or 30 feet from the ground. The hunter waited for it, the silver sword in his hand. When the dragon saw Gottlieb, the dragon's first head said, "Why have you come to this mountain?" The second head said, "I wish you no harm." The third said, "Begone!" But Gottlieb responded to it, "While you may wish me no harm, I myself have sworn your death, for I have come to battle with you. Defend yourself!"
"I never defend," said the fourth head.
"I attack," said the fifth.
And with these words it flew up into the clouds so high that it seemed no larger than a swallow. And throwing flame from the seven mouths of its seven heads, it let itself fall as swiftly as lightning on the hunter, believing it could pluck him up in its claws and raise him into the air as a falcon might seize a sparrow. But Gottlieb, the lion, the bear, the wolf, and the fox jumped away, forming a circle into which the dragon fell with a bump. "Oof!" cried the sixth head.
"You clumsy fool," said the seventh.
And then the first retorted, "Clumsy? You ought to watch where you're going." And suddenly Gottlieb understood the words of the chalices. As the dragon beat its wings to rise and attack again, the hunter signaled to the bear and lion to grab its legs and hold them, and then told the wolf and the fox to run through the brush just out of the reach of the flames, crossing from one side to the other, passing each other to distract the monster. As the dragon struggled to rise, it saw the fox and wolf and leaned out to roast them and gobble them up. But the fox and the wolf were too quick, the fox calling, "Come get me, I'm delicious broiled," and the wolf howled, "Here, here, I make a very good stew." And with the fox calling the pattern, they dashed back and forth, the heads following, blowing great yellow flames, bumping into each other and getting tangled and twisted.
"Look out," cried head one.
"Keep out of my way," bellowed head two.
"Bah, keep your flames to yourself," muttered head three.
"Hey, why don't you watch where you're going?"
head four blurted out. And then finding themselves tied in a hopeless knot, heads five, six, and seven said,
"Oh dear, now look what you've done. We can't move."
Then the hunter ran up and pushed the tip of the sword just into the dragon's breast. "Ouch!" cried head one.
"Ouch, ouch!"
yelled head two.
"Ouch, ouch, ouch!"
screamed head three. And head four said,
"Don't do that!"
It hurts,
Head 5 said immediately after.
That sword could kill us, Head 6 added.
We give up,
Head 7 pled. And Gottlieb replied, But I must kill you to save the princess.
No, no, no,
all 7 heads said at once. We
were once 7 sisters who lived by an enchanted forest and sold mushrooms in the village. One day in the forest we were gathering our mushrooms when an evil woman changed those into this dragon. Someday you will find her and break this spell.
But what about the maidens? Can I trust you? What will you eat? Gottlieb questioned. The 7 heads replied,
As long as you possess that sword, we will harm no one.
And Head 1 said,
We will have to eat grass.
And then Head 2 said, I don't like grass.
I shall eat holly.
And Head 3 said,
Holly? You can't eat holly.
And the hunter and his beasts, leaving the heads to squabble and untie themselves, walked away, with the exception, of course, of the rabbit, who would no more dare come near a tame dragon than he would a wild one. The combat finished, the hunter went to the beautiful princess, whom he found lying unconscious under the oak. She had fainted from terror. The rabbit was next to her, his eyes closed, and without the convulsive trembling that formerly agitated his whole body, appeared to have passed away. Gottlieb went to a stream which was nearby, took some water in the leaf of a water lily, and returned to shake some on the princess's face. The cool spray woke the princess. The hunter showed her the exhausted dragon and said, You no longer have anything to fear, princess. You are delivered. The princess began to thank St. Hubert, who had given her liberator strength and courage. Then, turning to Gottlieb, she said, Now, good hunter, you are going to be my beloved husband, because my father promised to make me the wife of any man who defeated the dragon. And in order to reward the animal, she removed her emerald necklace and fastened it around the lion's neck, her diamond earrings, and put them on the ears of the bear, her pearl bracelet, and passed it over the paw of the wolf, and 2 priceless rings, one sapphire, the other ruby, which she gave to the fox and to the rabbit. As for the hunter, she gave him her pocket handkerchief, still soaked with her tears, embroidered with her initials in gold. The hunter then went to the dragon and asked permission to remove 7 scales from each of the 7 heads. Head 1 said,
Of course, they grow back eventually.
And the other heads agreed, so the hunter slipped off the 7 scales and put them in a handkerchief. The dragon returned to her cave to try and untie her knots.